What's up, everybody? Man. Hey, it's great to be here with you on week three of our Escape Room teaching series. And I welcome all of you at our other campuses who are joining with us together, as well as those of you who are jumping online this week to join in on this message. Now, it's going to be an awesome time today as we jump into the message here in just a moment. But during this series, let me just highlight it so we all know kind of where we're building, where we're tracking. See, we started off this series talking about this idea that sometimes in life we can feel trapped. And sometimes in life, it feels like we're trapped, especially when we feel emotionally low, or if there's bouts with depression, we can feel like we don't know how to get out. So in this series, we've been trying to look at clues and truths that can help us escape and begin to walk into the freedom that God really does desire to give us and that is accessible for us. Now, we started out week one talking about this idea with depression. And really that it's not just mental or not just in our mind. In fact, there's multiple things that all come together to impact depression in our lives. I mean, it comes from our physical health. It comes from our emotional health. It comes from our relational and what's going on, our spiritual, like all these things coming together. So for some of you who are here today at one of our campuses and you're battling with depression, our goal is not to try and simplify your struggle, but to really help identify for you and for all of us the enemy of depression and to ask how can we be proactive on the front end, and then how can we get help as we walk through this. Now, last week, Pastor Andy did a great job of really addressing the mental side of depression. And so I want to encourage you, if you've missed one of the first couple weeks of the series, to go back on our YouTube channel and then to check out those messages so you really see how this series is building together around this idea of helping us walk in greater levels of freedom. Now, this week, as we're addressing four different lies during the series that really rob us of our peace and our joy, this week we're looking at lie number three, which is, I can't slow down. Anybody here ever feel like this? Anybody you feel like that? Maybe you're like me. You know, here in the Silicon Valley, I think we're unique. Not unique, but just this is a pressure a lot of us feel. I don't know if you can relate with me on this. I wake up at 5:30 in the morning, and I already feel like I'm behind. Anybody? Some of you at our campuses today? Some of you feel like, I can't get ahead of email and Slack. It's always there. It always has something else for me. Some of you, I've heard this. I will not name names, but some of you are doing your work emails on your Hawaii vacation. Come on, y'all. You're in Hawaii. Like, we feel like we can't stop. We got meeting overload. The kids got another game or another school project or something else is going on. We got to try and fit in time with our spouse. Something on our house or apartment or car is always breaking. I mean, it never stops. It feels like we can't get ahead. And then we think, I'm tired. I got to sleep, but that's what I'll do when I'm dead. Some of you are telling yourself this because you're believing the lie that I can't slow down. And this lie really does impact not just our bodies, but it really does impact our mind, our emotions, and everything. That's why we want to jump into it today. But some of you may actually feel a little bit like this right here. And then watch this. And then life just is throwing you off right there. Just like, get out of here. You know, you feel like you just got hit. Now, some of you may actually feel more like this one. You may be able to relate here. You know, you're on your team at work or with your family and oh my gosh. Everybody else is keeping ahead of me. And then, no, I'm just holding on for dear life. I'm just trying to hold on. Everybody keeps going. I can't stop. Oh! And then I'm just back on the wheel, right? Like, that's what it feels like. Even in the times when you feel like I haven't yet been thrown completely off, everything else is still going, and I'm just trying to make it, right? Like, this is how we can feel. This is how we feel when we feel like I can't slow down. And it impacts our health in huge ways. In fact, it's one of the leading reasons that we are experiencing depression. It's one of the reasons that we are emotionally down, why we feel frantic, why we feel like we can't get ahead, why we get anxiety, because we feel like I can't stop, I can't slow down. And what this really does is it impacts all these other areas of our life, and it's oftentimes our loved ones who bear the brunt of our lack of health around the fact that we feel like we can't slow down. I was telling somebody earlier, I was like, man, if I don't slow down at times, I am irritable. I am not the best dad, leader, or anything, because this is what happens to us in our minds, our emotions, our health. It really gets impacted. And today, as we talk about this idea of wanting to slow down, here's the goal, what I want you to hear on the front end. This is not a guilt trip talk meant to try and guilt you into feeling like you got to rest, but the goal is to help you see there is hope, that we can slow down, and in fact, if we slow down, we can be more productive. Now, it's going to take hard work. You're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to be intentional to rest and be healthy and apply these things, but you can do it. And today as I come here, like, I'm not coming being some expert. I'm coming right now. And honestly, if you followed me around for the past 3 weeks, I've been worn out. I've been exhausted a little bit. We started off the beginning of this year. I had a bunch of stuff that we were running with, and I was running hard. I was feeling great. And then I hit this point. I knew it was coming because I know myself enough to know it was coming. And then I've been in this low where I just feel like I can't. I was telling somebody, it's like, I feel like I can't find the gear. You ever feel like that in life? You feel like, I can't get the gear that unlocks all the motivation, that puts everything back in rhythm. Now, I know where I'm at, and I know where I'm going, and I know a couple more weeks I'll find that gear because of what I'm doing. And here's my goal today. Our goal in this message is, I really hoping to be able to share with you things I've learned over the past 10 years, but also what I'm doing right now to get in that gear, to find that place, because we can do this, and we can slow down, we can live in health, and we can walk in freedom. So during this series, we've been looking at a passage of scripture that talks about an account in the life of Elijah the prophet. Now, Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament back in Israel's history. A prophet really was a person who was a spokesperson from God carrying his message. And also, Elijah did some amazing miracles that you can read about within the scriptures. And here, as we picked up in this series in Elijah's life, he has just come off of this, if you will, the high of doing these amazing miracles and speaking God's message into the lows. And oftentimes that's what happens for us when we battle with depression or we down and out and low. We come off a high and then we hit the low. We're going good and then all of a sudden it's almost like it surprises us. But here is Elijah, and where we pick up, he's really been running. He is depressed. He is in despair. He's got threats against his life. And where we pick up today in verse 5 is right here. In 1 Kings 19, verse 5, it says, "Then he," talking about Elijah, "lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again." Now, how many of y'all would like an angel to come bring you some food so you can take a nap? I mean, come on. Somebody at Sunnyvale said, "Oh, please pick me." You know, like, we would love for this to happen. But then it says, look, go on here. Come on. So he got up and ate and drank and the food and gave him enough strength to travel for 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai and the mountain of God. So here's what we got with Elijah. Elijah runs in despair and depression, and notice what happens. I think this is really significant for what we're talking about today. He slept. He ate. He slept. He ate. Then he went. This is something really important to see. It's like God sent an angel to bring him food and not a message. See, there, so much for us today in our society and here in the Silicon Valley, what we want to do is, you hear somebody who's down and out, you're like, "Who's your counselor? What's your medication? What's your plan to get back on? What's missing from your life? How are we going to do this? What's your strat up around your life to get healthy?" Right? Like, we want to put together a whole plan, a checklist of everything on how we're going to do this, which really creates more energy, more pace, more anxiety because something's wrong and I got to go. He slept. He just laid down and slept. And then God didn't even bring him a message or bring him next instructions. He just sent an angel to bake bread on some rocks and say, "Bro, eat and go back to sleep." Right? And this is really significant about this because I actually did some reading in preparation for this message around sleep and depression and how it correlates together. And did you know that by a lack of sleep, you're actually more susceptible to depression? Did you know that the right amount of sleep, so not too much and not too less, but the right amount, plus exercise is known to alleviate most mild to moderate depression? Sleep and rest has a huge impact on our mental, emotional, and spiritual health, and on our relational health. In fact, I read one article that talked about sleep deprivation. And it had a little sleep deprivation test that I thought we could all take here today. So here you go. This might help you know if today at one of our campuses you are sleep deprived. You ready? You might be sleep deprived if you need an alarm clock in order to wake up on time. I know. Rely on the snooze button. You have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. You feel sluggish in the afternoon. You get sleepy in meetings, lectures, or warm rooms. You get drowsy after heavy meals or when driving. You need a nap to get through the day. You fall asleep while watching TV or relaxing in the evening. You feel the need to sleep in on weekends. You fall asleep within 5 minutes of going to bed. Now, how many of you at all of our campuses would say you're sleep deprived based on this list? See, like, think about this. Isn't it crazy? You know, I read this list to my wife, and she said, that article is dumb. And I said, why? Because you answered yes to all of them? And isn't it so true? So often somebody points out areas of our health that aren't right, and then we just go, that's dumb, because we don't want to admit it. But listen to this. This is what it says the effects of sleep deprivation are. Here you go. This will make you feel real good. All right? So because we're all sleep deprived, we then have fatigue, lethargy, lack of motivation, moodiness and irritability, don't touch your spouse, increased risk of depression, decreased sex drive, relationship problems, impaired brain activity, learning, concentration, and memory problems, reduced creativity and problem-solving skills, difficulty making decisions, inability to cope with stress, difficulty managing emotions. Somebody's about to get a lot of sleep after this one, okay? Because this one is premature skin aging. Oh, no. Oh, those lotions ain't got nothing on sleep right here, let me tell you. You have a weakened immune system. You have impaired motor skills. You have increased risk of health problems, including stroke, diabetes, high blood pressure, heart disease, Alzheimer's disease, and certain cancers. Feels like the end of that medical commercial, you know, where they just go on the list. This is all the effects of a lack of sleep. And when I think about this, isn't it interesting? It shouldn't really surprise us that so much of us, we push past the physical limits that we have in our body. We stay up late. We're pounding coffee. I love coffee. I drink it 5 times a day, every hour. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're always drinking. We're pushing. And then we wonder, why do I feel all like exhausted and irritable and angry? And why do I feel emotionally low? Why am I depressed? Why am I sad? Why do I lack joy? Why do I lack peace? Because we're pushing our physical limitations past the pace that God created us and intended us to run. Think about this. Did you know that God created us to need sleep? There's a reason that we all sleep. Our bodies need it. God created us to need rest. Do you know what God would do actually in model and creation? He would create the earth and everything in creation in 6 days. He would rest on the seventh. Then he would tell the nation of Israel, he'd say, listen, the seventh day of the week, that is to be your Sabbath, your day of rest. There's no work on that day. You rest. See, so often we don't stop. We don't rest. And we get ourselves into these places of unhealth. And listen, if we're going to talk about some practices to slow down for health, so much of this is going to be in our thinking and in what we think about and what we do. And the first practice for us to slow down for health, which you can write down in your notes, is that we have to prioritize rest. We have to prioritize rest. So often, if we're honest, we would say, I know that, but everything else in my life says I don't. Our behavior says, I need more coffee, I got to push harder, I can't go to bed, I got to go. So often we struggle with this right here. But if we're going to slow down for health, we're going to have to prioritize rest. Now, I think one of the lies that oftentimes keeps us from slowing down and keeps us from being able to prioritize rest is that we feel like, well, my kids, my spouse, my friends, my parents, my boss, my team, like they're all counting on me. If I don't do it, I'm going to let them all down, and I got to get all this stuff done. And we push ourselves for 60, 70, 80 plus hours. You just keep pushing and pushing. I can never turn it off. I always got to have my phone on. Notifications always got to go off. I got to be a rapid responder. We get all these things. But the lie that we're buying into is I can't slow down and we're not prioritizing our rest. But if we're going to change our mindset, the mindset shift we have to make is I can't do well for others if I don't do well for myself. So think about this. We may know this, but our behavior doesn't yet. I can't do well for others if I don't do well for myself. Did you know that you could probably get more work done in less hours if you did it out of rest? Yeah. See, if I took care of myself, I could do better for my boss. If I took care of myself, I can do better for my kids. Y'all, if I'm not like getting rest, if I'm not up before my kids are up, oh, I am not a good dad. I just get more irritable, I get more snappy, I get more frustrated, all these things. But if I've got rest, I'm up before them, I've gotten myself ready, I'm taking care of me, then when the kids come out, I'm like fun dad. Like, what's up, y'all? Let's go. Time to get up in the morning. I know, they're going to hate me for it when they get older. But this is the deal. I can't do well for others if I don't do well for myself. I can't do ministry. I can't be a part of it. I can't lead well. I can't do all these things if I don't do well for myself. And y'all, I learned a few years ago, I hit this point. I wasn't clinically depressed or anything, but I was just down. I was not living the happy life. I was living the dread life. You know, I was like sitting there, I was grieving transitions. Anytime you have a transition in your life, you're setting yourself up for potential depression because there's a grief, there's a transition, there's all this stuff that's happening. And I was going through all this and I was like, man, I don't like work. I don't like home isn't recharging, like nothing. And I just went around asking this question to my wife and other people that know me. I was like, am I fun? Like, I feel like I'm having an identity crisis. Like, I don't feel fun anymore. And somebody really challenged me with this idea, like, what do you do to recharge yourself? Like, what's your hobby? What's the thing outside of work? What's the thing outside of home? What's the thing you just lose track of time doing? And what I began to realize is I needed to put some time and energy into some things that are going to help me stay healthy. So I started getting more into working out consistently. I got a mountain bike. I figured out I like hiking and being outdoors. I had to be intentional. I had to put some resources towards it. I even had to work with my wife around our family schedule some so that for both of us, we can get those times that we need to be healthy. But listen, it took intentionality. It took work. It took time to figure out what I need. So if I'm taking care of me, I can take care of others. Now, here's a couple key principles that we've got to know with this. If we're going to prioritize rest, a couple key principles that we can do is first, you got to know your patterns. Know your patterns. So, for example, right now I mentioned like I'm feeling kind of exhausted. I've been down, but I said earlier, but I know where I'm at, and I knew it was coming, and I know what to do to get out of it, because I've been here before. And I know I need rest. I need some time out on my bike by myself. I just need to get away from some email and Slack for a little while. I need to just, you know, I know what I need because I know the pattern. I've learned it about myself. And the more that we know our patterns, we know what's coming. We can be proactive. The more that you know your pattern of your cycle of depression, you can know, what do I need to do? Is it sleep? Is it work? Is it, I didn't take a rest. Oh, I haven't scheduled a vacation in 6 months. Like, what's the pattern that is happening in your life so that you can prioritize rest? Number two is that you need to invest in your health account. Invest in your health account. So think about your health just like an emergency fund or a retirement fund. See, an emergency fund and a retirement fund, which we all need, is for the future. It's for when something happens. An emergency fund is there when something breaks. A retirement fund is there for when you retire. And if you're investing on the front end now, when something breaks or when you retire, you'll be okay. It'll just be a car problem, not a money problem. Because you've invested and you've saved and you've put away. Well, with your health, if you're investing in your health account, what happens is you're building up health in yourself that's going to help you. So now you hit that project. Like, let's be honest. There are push seasons. Sometimes you just got to put your head down and you got 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks. You got to go. It's what it takes. Suck it up and do it. That's what we got to do. But we can't do that for a marathon. But if I've been investing in my health, in my relational health, in my physical health, when I hit that ramp, I can run. I got reserves in the tank. So invest in your health account. As I said earlier, even around physical health and exercise has been known to help alleviate mild to moderate depression because I'm investing in my health. So find what works for you. I mentioned like I got some of those habits where I started working on working out, getting outside, mountain biking, these things. They help me recharge me. They set other things up for success. So the more that I work out, the more I'm up earlier, the more I'm up earlier, the more time I actually take with Jesus in the morning, the more time I take with Jesus, I'm just better at everything. You know, like it sets me up for success. So for you, what is it? Maybe you need time alone every day. You just introvert hour, man. I just need my time, my space. It helps me recenter everything like that. Maybe some of you need to go to a new restaurant every week. Maybe some of you need to go to the same restaurant every week. You know, maybe you need to go get a hammock and set it up in a park and read a book. I don't know. Find what works for you so you can do it consistently to invest in your health account. And then the third thing that we do is we're going to work hard, rest hard. Work hard, rest hard. Listen, this message is in no way a license to be lazy. Laziness and putting off what are your responsibilities in the home, at work, or in relationships is pure lazy and will destroy your life. It's destructive. It's going to lead you to poverty of your soul, relationships, your mind. It's going to lead you to poverty of your bank account. Like, laziness will destroy you. Jesus did not call us to lazy. Jesus called us to mission. He called us to sacrifice, to give, to go. But here's the deal. We're going to work hard. We're even going to model in our workplace a work ethic that honors Jesus because we're going to work hard. But then you know what we're going to do? We're going to rest hard. See, what happens so often in the lie that I can't slow down is we're all like the first one. Some of y'all, right? You know, we're all the first one. I'm working hard, working hard, working hard, working hard. But we got to rest hard too. So I talked to somebody earlier and they were telling me, they said, I had 999 hours of vacation on the books. My mind couldn't even do the math. I didn't even know how many days that was. You know, I was like, I was just stuck at it. I was like, are you kidding? But listen, some of you have days, weeks, and months of vacation time sitting on the books because all you've been doing is the first one. You've been working hard, and you're wondering why I feel the way I do. It's because you're not resting hard. One of the best things that has helped me is at the beginning of the year, I started putting on all my vacation time throughout the entire year at key points where I know I'm going to need it after push seasons. What it's doing is it's helping me prepare so I can rest hard. And my goal is to zero out my vacation by the end of the year. It is there. Your vacation time is there for your health. If you don't use it, it's on you. It's nobody else's problem. So many times I know your boss holds up things, your boss pushes you hard, I get it, but it's up to you to rest hard. And if you still can't rest hard, I'd be looking for a new job if it was me. Because work hard, rest hard, or else I'm going to be unhealthy, I'm going to be susceptible to depression, I'm going to face a lot of things. Because listen, our bodies are giving us clues as to why we feel emotionally, spiritually, and mentally the way that we do. And we have to prioritize rest. So listen, as Elijah goes on, right? Remember, he's underneath that broom tree. He sleeps, eats, sleeps, eats. Angel says, you got to eat so you can go on this journey. He goes on the journey, and he goes to this mountain, Mount Sinai. He's there, and Elijah is there, and God comes to him and says, Elijah, what are you doing here? And Elijah goes into this whole rant around, well, I'm facing, you know, this. I'm all alone. Everybody else has been killed. I'm the only one. Now they're trying to kill me. And you know, I think it's so interesting if somebody comes to us so often, especially when we feel down or when we feel stressed or even in depression, somebody comes and asks like, what's going on? What are you doing here? What's happening? We just have that rant. Everything, it feels like doom and gloom because we just can't see everything. And when we're stressed, we're irritable. It's always somebody else's thing or anything like this because we just can't think right when we feel all this way. And so God then at this point, he tells Elijah to go stand out on the cave, and this is what happens. Says, and as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by. And a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound, go back, the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know, there's a lot of times in life where we are desperate to hear from God. There's a lot of times in life we are desperate to hear something. We are looking for some kind of hope. In fact, I talk to a lot of people at our campus who come for the very first time because they're like, I didn't know where else to turn. So some of you may have never been to church before you walked in today, or you recently came in to Echo and you started attending. You may be like, I'm still checking this out. I don't even know yet what I believe, but I didn't know where else to go. And a lot of times we come and we're looking for God's voice. We're just hoping that there's something God's going to say. There's something that he's got for us that's going to be able to help us speak into the situation. And when I look at this, Elijah's in that same spot. He just needs to know from God that what's going to happen. He needs some hope. And when Elijah stands there on the edge of this cave, I mean, there's this wind that comes through and rips the rocks off the mountain. There's the earthquake that shakes the land. There's a fire that sweeps through the valley. There's all these things that were caused by God. There's all these acts of God that he sees with his eyes, but yet none of them speak directly into his heart and his soul with exactly what he needs to hear while he's standing there. And so often, I think what can happen for us is we come in, we see God do things, we walk in the doors of a church, we sit here, we see other people's stories, we may even go serve at them, we may even volunteer, we may even give financially, we do all these things, and we're seeing God do all these things, but yet we feel like we're lacking the part inside that I so desperately need to hear. I see everybody else experience, but why can't I experience it? Where is it at for me? And here in this story and this account of Elijah's life, we're going to pick up more next week where we see how God responds to him. Because God responds to Elijah, reminding him that he sees him, that he's not all alone. In fact, God goes on to tell him that there are people he has set aside and reserved, and Elijah is not the only one. Because so often the lie that we can believe too when we feel down and out is, I'm all alone. Ain't nobody else here. I'm going through this alone. I'm by myself. And next week, we're going to address lie number four, which is, I'm all alone. But for Elijah, he needs to hear in desperation from God. And so many of us, that is the place that we need to hear, is we need to hear a message from God. But you know what oftentimes keeps us from hearing from God? Is there is no space in our life to hear a gentle whisper. There's no space for us to slow down and hear what we so desperately need to hear. And if we're going to slow down for health, the second practice we've got to do is pace for space. That we've got to pace for space. When you look at your life, you got to ask, where is the space? See, so many of you, even at all of our campuses, you probably know more productivity tools, more tips, more tricks, more apps, more hacks than I could ever imagine around being productive. But see, the problem is not for a lack of tools. See, pace is a problem not for a lack of tools, but pace is a problem because of a lack of perspective and trust. And if we're going to change our thinking to understand everybody has the same amount of time in a day, which we hear, we know, then we can create space throughout our day. But it requires a couple mindset shifts. And today, here's what we want to look at for mindset shifts. That we have to understand that God's presence is greater than my productivity. God's presence is greater than my productivity. But so often what happens is we get these reversed. We think, I've got to go, I've got to do. It all depends on me. If I don't do it, somebody else won't do it. I got to do it for my team. I got to do it for my family. I got to. My success depends all on me. And we get so pushing into this that we feel like I can't slow down because everything is on me. It's all on my shoulders. I'm carrying it. And what happens is now we're all focused on our productivity and it's pushing out God's presence, the very thing that in depression and in lows that we so desperately need to hear. And see, I think that honestly, if we will apply this mindset, what's going to happen is we're going to get our pace in a place that allows for God's presence. So because we're going to pace for space, we're going to get more of God's presence in our life. And then check this out. Listen, you know how when you rest, and you work from rest, you work from sleep, you're ready to go, you're actually going to be more productive? Listen, I think when we get God's pace, when we get a pace that allows for God's presence, we're also going to start to get God's priorities. And what that's going to do is it's going to give me more clarity around what I need to say yes to and no to. It's going to help me push out the things that don't matter. It's going to help me start to thin out some things where I'm tying my identity more to my productivity than I am actual what I have to do. So I'm going to start to get God's priorities. And then what's going to happen? The more that I get God's priorities, the more actually productive I'm going to be. And then my pace is going to be healthy. See, it's going to begin to go full circle right here. I got a pace that allows for God's presence. I got God's priorities. And then I got a great pace because I got the right priorities. And then I got God's presence. And now, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's going to continue to go because I'm focused on God's presence is greater than my productivity. But listen, this is where faith really comes in. Because again, so much of the time, we really believe it depends on us. So maybe your mindset shift needs to change to ask this question. Do you believe God is still working while you're resting? Think about it. Is everything on you? I can't stop. I can't sleep. I gotta go because I'm carrying everything. Or what is the part that God is carrying for you? You know, sometimes that promotion, either A, it may not be worth it, or B, it may not be the right thing right now for you. What's the right thing right now is to take care of your relationships, to take care of your health, to do something like this. You know, but if I believe God's working while he's resting, then when I come up for a promotion or come up with something like this, I'm going to say, God, I'm going to give it everything I got. I'm going to work hard. I got hustle. I got grit. I got work ethic. Here we go. God, there's a lot of this stuff I can't control. But when I rest, I'm going to trust that you work on those things. Remember, do I believe that God is still working while I'm resting? We have to change our thinking if we're going to change our behavior. And it is our behavior that oftentimes traps us into a lack of health because we feel like I can't slow down. And that thinking around I can't slow down drives the behavior. So here's a couple of key principles that can help us with this idea of pacing for space. Number one, I want to encourage you to inventory habits. Inventory habits. All of us have habits. Some of them we don't see, some of them we don't think about, but your habits are either helping you create space or they're killing your space. I'm doing this right now, as I mentioned, I'm working on even my health and kind of going, all right, I'm getting back in, I'm gonna find that gear, and here we go. So I'm looking back at some habits. I've picked up some habits that weren't so great that I've eliminated before, and I know I gotta kill that habit. Anybody, you laying in bed, you look at your phone first thing in the morning? It's a space killer. Seriously, what happens? You pick it up, you start looking at the email, you start responding even before you get out of bed. I mean, you're sitting there and you're like, I got to pee so bad, but I got to do this email first. You know, like, it's sick, isn't it? You're sitting there doing all this and you're going through it and it's killing the space mentally, physically in your morning to start you off with a clear mind, hearing from God, ready to go. I got God's presence. We all have habits. You know, this week, one of the habits I was reminded of that sometimes I do that I was like, I got to do this some more and come back to it, is driving in your car in silence. Don't listen to a podcast. Don't listen to a book. Don't do a phone call. Don't listen to music. Just ride in silence and enjoy the traffic. Think about it. Think about it. Where else did you have silence that entire day? That may be the only time you sat there and the sunshine this week was coming in the window. I'm so glad the rain is leaving. No, sunshine's coming. I was looking at the mountains. I was like, man, they're so green. I was like, God, you are a great artist. You made those mountains and painted them just like that. And then I started thinking, man, and God, you provided for me to live in this crazy expensive area. But you're good, man. You see what happens? Change a habit. It started to change my mind and my pace slowed even though I'm sitting in traffic. Make space in your life. So pace for space. Inventory your habits. Number two is we're going to think long term. You ever notice how thinking long term changes something? This is how I think thinking long term can help you. It can help you identify the stupid habits that you got in your life. Because what's the thing right now you go, I ain't doing for 30 more years? You probably have one. You're sitting there answering emails at 2 a.m. or you're filling out your receipt expense reports and you're like, I ain't doing this for 30 more years like this. Change it. What's the thing your kids are going to talk about in 30 years? What's the thing your spouse is going to talk about? What's the thing your parents are going to talk about? Oh yeah, they were always too busy to ever call me. Think long term. It'll help you see today what needs to change in your pace. And listen, so often we can buy the lie right here when we think long term is we can go, oh, when I'm single, I'll change it when I get married. oh, when I'm married, I'll change it when I get my kids. No, you typically don't. In fact, more than likely, you don't. It only gets worse because you stayed unhealthy and you took on more responsibility, more pressure, and you stayed unhealthy and you took on even more responsibility, more pressure, and you stayed unhealthier. So the health scales just continue to go down. See, listen, if there's anything that you're sitting there going, I can't do this for 30 more years, this is dumb, this is stupid, this is a habit that's killing me, change it now. Don't wait until the pain of changing is so great that it demands you change. Change it now. That's wisdom. Wisdom says I change it now when I learn from somebody else's pain. Think long term. The third thing that's a key principle here is to look and listen. Look and listen. This comes in especially if we want to have God's presence in our life. Did you know all throughout your day that God is wanting to show up? All throughout your day, God's thinking about you way more than you're thinking about him. That God has words, he has things, he has people for you that can help you. And if we can begin to ingrain in ourselves, in my pace, I'm going to create space to look and listen. What's going to happen is we're going to start to see God. We're going to see him show up. We're going to look with eyes to say, God, who's the person that you want me to serve? Who's the person you want me to pray for? What's the person that's coming to me? What's the thing you want me to see in this meeting? Invite God into every space that we got, and it'll create more space. Listen for God. There's verses, there's people, there's messages, there's something where God is speaking. But if our pace is too frantic, if our pace is always running, we don't have the space to look and listen, to hear the word that we got to hear from God for our soul, for our health, for our life. So we're going to do this because we're going to pace for space because we know we've got to prioritize rest because all this really impacts every area of our life, including our emotional health and our depression and anxiety, and all these things can build on here because we've neglected our physical health and the toll is huge. And I know that this is a lot of times becomes a faith thing. And for me, I'm walking through it some right now, even processing, but listen, because I know my patterns, because I prioritize my rest, because I've learned about myself, I probably got about 2 more weeks and I'll be back feeling strong and ready to go. But every year, one of the rhythms I put in that really helps, because you got to have these rhythms. Every year I put in a rhythm where I have a prayer retreat, me and a couple guys, we go get a cabin, and it was kind of like individuals. We just like to hang out for dinner because we're all extroverts, but during the day, we kind of all go off on our own. And every year I'm praying, I'm saying, God, what's the thing for our family? What's the thing for me that you're wanting to do? What's the thing in our church you're wanting to do? Like, how do we do this? And this year, one of the verses that really I felt like I've known for years, but God just kept bringing up this entire prayer retreat, is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. See, there's a real invitation right here in these verses to trust God and not yourself. To trust God and not yourself in every area of your life. Don't lean on what you know. Don't lean on what makes sense. Y'all, God gave me these verses earlier in the January, and then now some stuff has come up where I'm like, I don't really know what to do. I'm feeling the stress. I'm feeling like the energy, the tension come up. But then I'm reminded, God, you knew this was coming before, so you gave me these verses before, so now I'm going to trust you. Listen, trust in God with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. All your ways submit to him. And he will do what? He will make your path straight. It's meaning there's a real promise here that when we trust that God's working while we're resting, when we choose to trust God in these areas of our life, where we feel like it all depends on us or we got to control, when we choose to do that, there's an invitation right here in these verses to trust him and let him make it straight. It doesn't take away the work that we do in ourselves, but it takes away the weight of making it all be on me. And God didn't design us to go without rest. God designed us for rest. God designed each of us for his presence. And it's the very reason that God would send Jesus to step into humanity, the perfect Son of God, to go to a cross, to give up his life, to beat death on the resurrection, and Jesus would then be our hope. And all throughout Scripture, what we see is that Jesus is the hope for our sin, our brokenness, our all these things, the junk that's in our lives, like our hope is in Jesus and what he did on the cross. And when we turn to him, when we come and we say, Jesus, I need you to take my sin. I need you to take all this pain. I need you. I'm going to follow you. I'm coming after you because you're my only hope. That then we experience God's forgiveness and relationship and presence in our life. And listen to what Jesus would actually say in Matthew 11. Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. See, the invitation, you can take those down. The invitation from Jesus is even rest. To come rest in him. And so some of you maybe today at our campuses, the step for you is to begin that relationship with him. You've been exploring, you've been here, you've been processing, and now today is the time to say, Jesus, I'm saying yes to you, and I'm going to passionately do whatever it takes to follow you. Because I need this hope, I need it from you. Some of us, it's to come in and rechange our thinking and say, I'm going to rest, and I'm going to trust God in my rest. And there's some rhythms that throughout the church for thousands of years that have been there, and one of those is communion. Communion is one of those things that we often take because what Jesus would do is at the Lord's Supper or at the Last Supper, he would take the bread, he would break it, he'd give it to his disciples, he'd say, listen, this bread represents my body, which is going to be broken for you. He would take the cup, the wine, he would pass it, and he would say, drink this, because he said, this is going to represent my blood that will be spilled for you for a new covenant that God is making, a new relationship, one where forgiveness comes through what I will do on the cross. And so we take communion remembering that. And so today, we're going to take communion at all of our campuses. And we're going to do it a little bit different if you're a regular than what we've done before. So at this point, at all of our campuses, I'm going to invite our ushers to go ahead and come forward. And they're going to start passing some buckets that have a little communion cup in it. It's a little cup with some juice. It's got a little piece of bread on the top. Now, don't start opening it yet. Very important. Just hold on to it for a minute. Take it out of the bucket. Start passing it. You can grab one, hold on to it. See, the top is that bread that Jesus said represents his body that was broken for us. The juice represents his blood that was spilled for us on the cross, that new covenant. And so here's what the invitation is for you, is I'm going to pray in just a moment, and then at all of our campuses, our bands are going to lead us in a song, and we want you just to stay seated, because what we want to do is create space for you to encounter God's presence. So here's what you do. As the band starts playing, just take a minute. You can peel the top back. You take the bread out, but don't eat it right away. Just hold on to it for a second. Look at it. Think about what you're doing. Think about what we're taking. Think about what Jesus has done for you. Maybe you got something you need to ask of him. Maybe you got something you need to confess to him. Something here. Think about it. And then when you're ready, you can open the top and take the juice, being reminded of what Jesus would do for us on the cross. But here's what we want you to do is we want to create space so you can take time to take this. So you've got a song to take communion right where you're at and let God speak to you through it today. Let's pray. God, today as we come to you, we are asking that you would help us to create space to hear from you. God, help us to prioritize rest, your heart, to hear from you, to know that we need you. God, I pray that you would speak to each person. Even as we take communion, we would be filled with a sense of gratitude, graciousness, your grace, your mercy. Even just the fact that we can come to you with every burden, request, and anxiety that we have. God, you will meet us right in the middle of them. You're not afraid of them. So God, I pray that you would meet us here in this song. God, would you fill us? Would you encourage us? Would you give us hope today? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.